Welcome to the Lemonade Stand Stories podcast. Tune in every Thursday as we share inspirational stories from the world's greatest creators, entrepreneurs, and go-getters about how they've turned life's lemons into lemonade. And now, here's this week's host, the president of Lemonade Stand, John Roa.
Welcome to the Lemonade Stand Stories podcast. It's going to be a great day today. It's a good day here in the studio because today I have my good friend, Kevin Miller. Kevin, what is up, man? How you doing?
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Dude, it's good to see you. So good. So for all that are watching and or listening today, if you don't know, Kevin Miller is a little bit of a, he's a legend. He's just, let's just say that, a legend.
That's a severe overstatement.
So Kevin, you went to the NHL, played for the Bruins, had a great career. Pride of the Catamounts, University of Vermont. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk through the whole story today. We're going to talk a little fun hockey stuff, especially if you're a Bruins fan. It's a good time of year if you're listening live. It's a really good time of year, yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hopefully. Oh, yeah. Talk a lot of hockey for you hockey fans out here, but I think you have an amazing story and a super encouraging, uplifting. I think it's going to be awesome to share that with the people. So wanted to dive into that today. So we'll touch on a whole bunch of things, have a lot of fun, and just chat.
I like it. Thanks for having me again. Really good to see you.
Yeah, man. Okay. Starting out,
yeah.
Let's start with some fun hockey stuff. Let's get it out of the way. Okay. I've got some Bruins talking in a little bit, but
okay.
I want to talk. You had a specific role in the league.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and this is one of my favorite parts about hockey, right? Like, of course, if you see me on camera here, as you know, all fat brown men love hockey, and I love hockey. But when I watched you play, like you were a stalwart defender and you were the guy in a league that is full of tough guys. You're a tough guy's tough guy.
So, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And you know, the league has evolved over time. When I first got in the league, I was definitely not that. They were mammoths, you know?
Yeah.
And I was definitely just kind of hovering right in the middle of the pack as you get older and some guys start to leave and the culture of hockey changes a little bit. I think I found myself closer to the top of the pecking order. But, I kind of laugh because, people, especially people who don't know hockey as well, they're like, what did you play? This is how many goals did you score? And I'm like, I count them on probably two hands, you know? And so like, I laugh because like I got buddies ask me, it's like, so I didn't get paid to score.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's my nice way of saying things.
Yeah.
That I was never a finesse player.
So it's funny because I ended up, I was talking with my son Micah. I've told you a little bit about this. He's playing hockey now.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about you a little bit. And I ended up pulling up your highlight reel. This is probably, try not to embarrass you here. This is like, it's your highlight reel is like a goal and a whole bunch of fights.
Yeah, like one goal. Maybe
it was
one
a great goal. It looked awesome. Great goal. It's a good one.
Still got the puck.
Yeah, it's got like a Skillet soundtrack to it. Some fun, guy made it. It's,
oh,
but
boy.
But it's great. And it's a bunch of fights. And you're like the nicest guy on the planet. But you put gloves on, they're coming off.
I think and this is, it's kind of strange, and this will get into like our like hockey history or just like my kind of progression through where my career started and where it ended and whatnot. But so I got an older brother, I got a younger brother. We always just kind of beat up on each other. As fun. And I was never in a hockey fight ever until my college in college. And, it was never part of my, goal or pedigree or really anything. But you know, my college coach was just like, hey, there's a lot of ways to earn a job and make a living in this league. And if you're willing to do that, then if you're good enough at it, it can help you. And I kind of targeted that as something I knew I wasn't scoring a lot of goals. I wasn't playing on the power play.
Right.
It's just going to be hard to play against and kind of do my best to keep pucks out of my own net. And then that was just kind of a supplemental thing that I kind of fell into.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What, I guess, what kind of like, what turns like, so you, off the ice, you're like the nicest guy and it's a, like hockey's like this. So you get a lot of gentlemen who are willing to do what it takes in the dirty areas to get it done. But like, what is it like? What kind of drives you to like when you're the nicest guy off the ice, what turns?
Yeah. Or what makes it? So it's funny. Cause my, you know, my wife laughs about it all the time with me. And like people say that a lot and I appreciate that. I try to hold myself in that regard. And you know what? I think a little bit too, is it is because it's almost like a, people expect me to not be that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so maybe I'm even more than I should be. I don't know. I'm just trying to be, you know, myself. Yeah. But I think it's just come a little bit naturally that like I maybe feel like obligated to prove people wrong.
Yeah.
In that case where like, hey, I'm not this like terrible dude.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
definitely not a terrible
being dude. Honest. So like I, you know, like, and then, you know, everybody's got their shortfalls and whatnot, but I, and I certainly have mine. I, you know, if I'm being honest, I have a little bit of a side to myself that, you know, that when I'm playing and competing and I miss that truly. Yeah. Cause like now that I'm not playing, like, I have to find ways to scratch that itch because like,
right.
And some guys, and it's funny cause some guys like I talked to that played in the NHL and were fighters. They're like, man, I hated it.
Really?
I hated it. I hated fighting. I stayed up at night cause I knew like that next day I might have to fight this guy.
Yeah.
Part of it. And there's like a, I don't know, weird kind of messed up part of me that like really enjoyed it. If I'm being honest with you. No, really. Like, and it's and then there's also the weird side of it too, the like the spiritual side of it for me as a Christian that like you never, you know, you never want to see somebody get hurt.
Right.
I never want to be the reason to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it happens, but rarely, but it did happen. And so it's like a maybe a battle in my head and in me that like, hey, I like this, but like this is not good. And like, you know, like so I don't know. It was like it's funny because like the day I'm playing in the NHL and then the next day where I retire, it's like when you're in the NHL, this is totally legal and fine and celebrated, right?
Yeah.
And like that you're getting paid for this.
Yeah.
And then the next day when you retire, like you go to jail for that. So it's like a weird, it was like a weird thing. And
right.
I'm glad I'm not doing it anymore, to be honest with you. But I do have to find ways to scratch that itch. And I'm a competitive guy. And, and so it's just, the whole thing's weird.
Yeah. If you see a guy lined up and you know, like, oh man, this guy's, we're going to have to go.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that you're just like, I'm dreading this? Or is it more like I'm actually excited for it? Like what?
I and this goes back to the other question. I never was really like, when I first got in the league, there was a lot of staged fighting,
yes.
if you will.
Yeah.
Guys that were strictly on the team
right.
to fight. And you know, as that, you know, when I first got in the league, I was like that and they, you know, play maybe a couple shifts a game, but they were there to kind of protect the players. Yeah. And if there was something that they, you know, they'd stick out. However, that guy in that role is gone now.
Right.
And so there, you know, there were times, especially in the minor leagues, when I was playing a couple of years in the minors, that there were times where I knew, hey, I have that circle on the calendar. Like that guy's
right.
I'm going to have to fight that guy.
Right.
Or somebody's going to have to fight that guy. But as I got into my career in the NHL, it wasn't really like that. So I never really, it was never for me like hey, we're definitely doing this as that game against a guy in the NHL. It was just a lot more spontaneous. And for me that there was never like a non-willingness.
Yeah.
The only time I had that happen is when I had a partially broken hand and I had to say no.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I had to say no. I had tape all over my hands. You get a penalty for that.
If you
have tape on your hands, it's like boxers. So I had tape on my hands and the guy asked me and I was just like, listen, man, like I took my glove. I'm like, I can't fight you.
Right.
I want to, but I can't fight you.
Right.
They'll kick me out. Right. Yeah. And he was kind of giving me it. So there are definitely, I mean, there's big, tough, scary guys and that's part of it, but it was never so staged to me to the point where I actually had time to really process this and go through it and go, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, the fighting part is definitely like the thing that makes it on YouTube maybe, but you were a defenseman. You played the game right way.
Yeah.
You got it done. You were on a good team that has definitely been on a great trajectory, obviously, this year. It's been amazing. And you've been a big part of that team. So tell us about that progress that from, you know, I think I read somewhere that you started the game at like 5 years old.
Right? Yep.
Tell us about like, how did you, because you went undrafted. You didn't take like the, you know, somebody was following you around all your life and saying like, this is where you're going to head. You're going to be an NHL player. I'm guessing it was kind of, it was a grind, but tell us about the story to get there.
Yeah. I'll give you the quick version so I don't bore you too long, but I was born in California. Older brother, younger brother, we just moved into a new house, started playing roller hockey. I was 5 years old and one of the kids down the street had played ice and he came up and he's like, hey, you want to try ice? I tried ice skating at five and I was like, man, this is it. Like I knew at 5 years old, like this is what I want to do. Like no ifs, ands, or buts. So fortunate in that regard. But like I knew what I wanted to do at 5 years old, which is crazy because I look at my 5 year old daughter now and she's just like, let's go color and like let's go jump. You know, and my 3 year old son's like way far off of that.
Right.
So, but it was unique and grateful for that. So, grew up in California, played minor hockey through there. Was cut from 1,000 different teams.
Wow.
Like just it's just a part of the journey. And the more and more I talk about it, the more and more I share, the more and more stories I hear that people have somewhat same or different trials and tribulations throughout their entire career.
Right.
It's just a part of it. You're gonna have it. The majority of people are not the best player on every team
right.
and then just go right to the NHL.
Yeah. If your name's not Connor, you're
exactly 100% seriously. Right. You know what I mean? So it's just a part of it and there's always something. And so that I just learned that that's a part of it, that you're going to have your trials. And from there, California has kind of a cap, as you know, that like you can't, there's no junior hockey teams there. There's no college hockey teams and the majority of scouting is on the East Coast and Canada and whatnot. So my parents and I decided they would ship me off to boarding school. Wow. So I went to prep school in Western Massachusetts. It's called Berkshire. At 15, I left there. I went there for 3 years. So I did my junior, senior, and then a post-grad year, fifth year of high school.
Wow.
And from there, so another part of that story is that when I showed up to Berkshire, I didn't call the hockey coach, which I probably should have. I just showed up. I figured, okay, I'm just going to try out for this team. We're good to go. So my junior year, which is like a huge recruiting year for hockey for colleges, so my junior year high school, I got cut from the varsity team.
Wow.
So I played junior varsity my junior year, all through the entire year, got called up at the end for a couple games, played varsity my senior year, had no Division I college scholarship offers. And so they decided, hey, they're like, hey, we'd love to have you back for post-grad year. You can kind of work on your college stuff. Instead of going to junior, you can work on your college stuff. And we think we'll have a good team. We got a new coach in. And so I agreed to that, came back for fifth year. And 2 months into the season, I went, saw a number of schools, and I went, saw University of Vermont.
Wow.
And committed there in November.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know you could do a fifth year.
Yeah. I know you could
do a fifth year if you have to do a fifth year.
I know. Like from California, it was like, who's a fifth year guy?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
At these prep schools, a lot of these people, what happens is it's mostly athletic.
Right.
Mostly athletic driven. So the guys who are doing a post-grad year are mostly athletic driven.
Interesting.
But the majority of them, 95% of them who are doing a post-grad year, do a post-grad year somewhere else at a different school. And so it was kind of strange in that regard, but fortunate it worked out. Got a plan for that one for sure.
Yeah.
And was able to commit to University of Vermont. And then I went to UVM from there. I played 4 years at the University of Vermont. Did not have an offer coming out of college.
Wow.
Did not have a contract. I tried out on an amateur tryout after my college year. I went and played for 5 or 6 games in Providence. They're the AHL team.
Yeah.
Bruins minor league team. And they said, hey, we liked you. You're okay. Like, why don't you come on a professional tryout now that you're out of college this next fall? And the interesting thing is, like, they won the Stanley Cup that year.
Right.
So it's 2011.
Yeah.
So I come out. I'm like, okay, so you want me to go play for the Bruins now?
Right.
Like, you think I'm going to make that roster?
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
My agent was like, no, trust me. Like, you just need to get in there and, like, see what you can do. So I signed a professional tryout. I came to their training camp in the fall of 2011, after they just won the cup, and tried out, had a good camp, and then signed a AHL, American Hockey League, one-way deal. It means I'm definitely in the minors. And played, I think it was 5 or 6 weeks, and They thought I was good enough to. I then signed an NHL contract after that.
So cool.
And so that was a really huge moment for me and my family. And
yeah.
So that's kind of the transition. So I went in Berkshire, University of Vermont, Providence, played 2 years in Providence, and then got called up after that and was with the Bruins ever since.
It's crazy. Are, when you hit the ice for the first time, well, yeah, they're going to make you take
first
that.
Game.
First game.
Yeah.
What is that like?
It was, so, I don't know if you've seen it, but like Nesson has this show, it's called Behind the Bee. It's kind of like a HBO miniseries, you want to call it or whatever, for like,
yeah,
it's kind of, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those. And it was the first year they were, I think it was the first year they were doing it. And, they like document highlight stuff that's going on throughout the season. And, it just so happened that like they were documenting my first game.
Wow.
And so they flew my parents in, my parents got to be there for it and got everything on film. So like I had this little disc at home somewhere
so
and it just shows all of that. And then, you know, lo and behold, like they have, they're doing like a ceremonial puck drop and who's doing it was Bobby Orr.
No way.
Yeah. Bobby Orr for my first game is worth the Blues. It's like November 21st. I remember it like it was yesterday. And, Bobby Orr was doing it. I'd never met him before. And so like right before the game, like he's down in the tunnel, like giving everybody, you know, high fives before they go on the game. And I got a picture of like shaking Bobby Orr's hand right before going on for my first game.
This can't get any better.
I know, man. Right? It's wild. It's hanging in my office right now. I see it every day. And like, I just, it was just a special moment. And then I got my parents there. I got my, my wife there who was in my, still girlfriend at the time. She was there for the game and, it was super special.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So you played, it ended up just not being one game. You ended up playing quite a few games.
Yep.
How many seasons you went? You went
eight seasons. One of them I missed the entire season because of injury. So seven full.
People. Was that the COVID year?
No, that was 20. Well, no, it wasn't. It was 2019.
It was 2019. Yeah. So you put eight seasons. You had a lot of games and big impact. It's crazy. If you've got quite a bit of like dedicated fans out there, like people love the way you play, you know,
but Boston's still blue collar.
Yeah. There's, you got it done though.
Yeah.
And you did great. And I think one of the things that is endearing about you that everybody, the Bruins fans love is that you played a lot of, you went through a lot. You put your body on the line in a lot of those games.
Yeah.
And, so there was time missed, like you mentioned, but there wasn't a reason.
Yeah, if I was healthy, I'd be playing. Unfortunately, I had a number of injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take us through that. Like what is, I mean,
go down the list.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't have to go. You don't want to. There's a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah,
you could search it, but
yeah.
I mean, is it frustrating? Is it like,
yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. But you know, and this is something that kind of like my dad and I talked about and just kind of grew to know like that if you're going to play that way, it's just a matter of time.
Right.
I just was never able to pull myself back from that.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, you know what? I can do 85% and get by.
Yeah.
I got to the NHL for a reason that way. And I just couldn't, ever figure out how to not play that way.
How to not go.
Right. So, and then consequently, it's part of it. And then you get a little bit of a bad luck. I had some bad luck with my knee which ultimately ended my career, but, it's a part of it. Had a chance to speak a couple of become buddies with a few guys that were in the NFL, a couple of guys that played for the Sox and everybody's got a story.
Yeah.
Nobody just says, I'm 33 years old. I think I've made enough. I'm really healthy. I'm done.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one does that.
Yeah.
So, it's unfortunate that that's part of it. But I don't regret a single bit and I don't wish it would happen any different.
Yeah.
So
it's awesome.
Yeah.
What take us through the retirement decision. Like the knee and all that kind of drove you to that, but I'm sure it was hard and
So I mean, but it was injury based, to be honest with you. I had four knee surgeries on my right knee, missed a whole year because of it, came back, played, and then I got to the point where I wasn't practicing with the team anymore. I wasn't pregame skating. I was strictly playing games. And it was actually advice from Cam Neely, our president at the time. He had some knee issues as well. So he's like, man, listen, we need to squeeze every bit of lemonade, if you will.
Yeah. There you go.
Out of you, right? You
need to cut squeeze, that one. That's good.
We need to squeeze every bit of it out of you. So like, you're just playing games. Like, he's like, this is, he's like, that's what I did. He's like, I just, we just need to get everything we can out of you. And so I just was just playing games. And even after every game, it was just like, gosh, hours of rehab afterwards. Wow. And treatment. And I got to the point where like, we were in playoffs. It wasn't even like, I ended up getting knocked out with concussion. Then we lost to the Islanders, right, and that was it. But I just had the conversation after that. I wasn't even really thinking about it. I was just like, after that season had done, I just kind of went through it with my wife and it was a hard decision, but it was, the writing was as clear as day on the wall. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like, hey man, the other part of it is like, hockey's not my only identity. It really isn't. It's not at all. It's that's who I'm. And every year that I get further away from it, it becomes less and less my identity.
Wow.
Which is great. But, I knew that like, yes, it was basically my goal and my passion my whole life. However, I knew that like, I have these passions outside of that and these things that I like to do and people I like to be around and my kids and all this stuff that, it wasn't a crushing blow by any means. Yeah. And I'm fortunate because I think a lot of guys it's natural because it's the only thing you do. So I think there's a lot of guys that put their identity solely in that. And then when it does come to an end, you know, it's tough.
I think the identity part is so cool and so great to hear.
Yeah.
I want to get to that in a second. But so you make the retirement announcement. And you guys started on the West Coast, like pretty much in adolescence, you went to the East Coast. And then you thought, hey, let's just go pick right in the middle of all of that and let's move to Utah.
Yeah. Well, so when I was still playing for the Bruins at a young age, I was still going back. Because after the season, some guys stick around Boston, they train there. I was a guy that always liked to go home.
Yeah.
I'd like to separate myself from Boston or wherever I'm playing, go back and like get back to training and like kind of decompress and, you know, but we were doing that in California. And for a couple of years while I was still in the NHL, like as a young age, and I just said that we're not doing that anymore.
yeah. Right.
For all the reasons under the sun. We're not going back.
Yeah.
And so we actually moved to Colorado, just south of Denver in a town called Highlands Ranch. And we moved there and I actually had my knee surgery out in Vail. So it was great. So like I was there, I had my surgery there. Everything was good and I was training there and we thought maybe this is it. And then, you know, that kind of turned into California and then we moved, you know, and we started having conversations. At this time, I had my daughter, we had our son on the way and we were just starting to see on the horizon that time was running out as far as where we wanted to land. And, my brother had lived out here, was kind of snowboarding and what as a young age. And, and we just kind of circled on the map as like, hey, maybe one day.
Right.
And I kind of got the whim to my wife that, you know what, we're moving to Utah.
So good.
So she came out, she checked it out, loved it. And we just said, you know what, this is it. Just packed all our stuff. And
just like that.
Just literally. Well, it was the summertime. So like we just, you know, we bought some land out here and said, hey, maybe we'll build a house one day. And just, you know, got lucky timing wise. And then, seriously. And then
you move after the great.
Well, we bought our place in February of 2020.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like a month before COVID.
Yeah.
So we got lucky.
Literally right at the perfect time.
Yeah.
Like that's so incredible.
We got lucky. And then ended up out here. I was still playing. And then the COVID thing while I was playing was weird because I was back in Boston and my wife and kids were here.
Wow.
And so that was tough. But it was kind of necessary just given that out there you couldn't go to the grocery store.
Right.
It was ridiculous. So, wow.
As far as like the experience of just doing it, like it's just,
no. Like
you couldn't even get in there.
Like I wasn't, well, put it this way, as an athlete, it was against the rules in the NHL for me to go to the grocery store.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I couldn't go to a restaurant. I couldn't go these are all things that were like actually happened. And everyone's like, no, I'm like, yeah,
I forget. It's so crazy. Cause COVID was 20 years ago. And also, yesterday. Are we still in it? I think.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not just, really sure. It's just weird. Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think they officially put a stamp. It's over.
It's just weird. Know. It seems like a weird dream, right? And some of that stuff that you remember thinking through, like, I forgot there was bubbles. Craziness.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's why she stayed back. She's like, what do you mean I can't go to the and the other thing is people that you were living with couldn't go.
Right.
Because then they have potential to bring. So it's like my wife and kids are there, but they can't go to the grocery store. They can't go to a restaurant.
Wow.
They're just going to sit at home, which was like not an option. Yeah. And then out here in Utah, it was like it was over. Yeah. There was never really a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was hard for everybody. I get it. It was just you're looking back, you're just like so weird.
Yeah.
So really weird that this was like that.
Sorry to go down a tangent.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Totally. With so, I mean, the Utah move is just interesting to me. The same with us, right? Like we were in California and we're like, it would feel like it's time. And man, I love it here. It's just been so awesome.
It's awesome.
And we were actually, for those that aren't going to see this, obviously, the pre-podcast discussion, we were talking about Utah Mom Stanley Cups and interesting names. And like, it's just a thing, right? Like everybody names their kid something differently here. There's actually, we were talking, there's somebody here that their brother's named like Quinn, but C-W-I-N-N-E. Like, how is that possible?
Yes. And I fit in here now.
And you fit in. And it's so funny because that's when I first met you. You had this little name tag on and you're like, oh, yeah, my name's Kevin. And then I asked you, like, what do you do? And you said, I was retired in hockey. And I'm like, oh, wait, I started to figure this out real quick because I'm like, who else do I know in hockey
that's. The wires were connecting?
Yeah, that spells their name weird, right? Yeah. Like,
that guy.
K E V A N. Yep. So great. And it's funny, too, because I don't know if I fit in with the first name. It's just John, but you got to check out this middle name. Just check this out. This is.
What? How do you even pronounce that?
Zeltenbuis. My middle name is Zeltenbuis.
What nationality?
Marshallese.
Really?
Yeah. So my mom.
Zeltenbuis?
Yeah. Zeltenbuis.
Zeltenbuis.
Yeah.
It sounds French.
Oh, thank you.
Kind of.
Maybe. No, not thank you.
Not at all. Yeah, you know.
I don't think really I was cool, like, is man. That a compliment?
No, well, yeah. People say the same thing with me.
Zeltenbuis.
Like, Kevin. It's a Kevon.
Yeah.
I'm like, you French? Right. I'm like, no.
Everybody. My name is John, but also Zeltenbuis. Yeah, and my sister.
That's kind of cool.
It's
I would have never. It would have been a long podcast of me trying to guess
exactly. Your name. It's so great. The name starts and ends with J. Like when's the last time you saw a word or name like that?
Oh my gosh, that's wild. That's cool.
It's weird. Yeah. So, anyways, crazy name, crazy names, but man, we love Utah. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about identity. You talked about retirement. You went through that whole process and made the decision. I love what you said about like hockey's just not me, right? And just not all who I am. I'm sure you loved it. I'm sure there's some, you know, you look back and you're probably like, oh, you know, enjoyed it or maybe you miss it. But you were talking about identity and kind of walk us through that. Like what when you stepped away from the game, where are you finding purpose? Where are you finding, like, what's the next step for you?
A big part of that, I guess, when I stepped away was like family driven.
Yeah.
Kids change you.
Yeah.
Kids certainly change you.
100%.
I had my daughter and I was like, whoa, this is awesome.
So cool.
And like, you know, it changed me right away. And so like, I think my identity and purpose is now my family, how to be a good father, how to be a good husband. That's my goal. Not perfect at it. If you're watching, honey,
I don't think my wife's ever watched a podcast that I've done. So that'd be super, super if your wife does. You can tell her to watch
exactly
my wife to watch
it in
watch it together.
But I think I think my identity is in that, which is, you know, and then you have your other subcategories, but I think that I had passions outside of hockey, and then my faith. Journey is another thing.
Yeah.
You know, when that, you know, something we've talked about, but, and that's been, cause you know, while you're playing, it's hard to, I don't know, it was hard for me to open the book, to be honest with you. And a lot of the things, whether I'm fighting sometimes,
yeah,
you know, so a little strange. And then just the life of a professional athlete is not always, Christ driven.
Yeah.
It's just tough. Right. And so, you know, there's we're either playing or a day off or you're practicing on Sundays. So it's not, you know, and so there's a whole, I guess, category in my identity where family, my faith and my job, my purpose and my hobbies and things that I like. So I have all of these things that have really filled the void of what my only, like at the time when I was playing, like it was almost tough for my wife to swallow. So like at the time, what was first was hockey, not family, not like,
wow.
Cause it's like, that's what's, you have a short window and like what was first was that. It wasn't my faith. It wasn't my family. It wasn't any of that. It was, that was what it was. So now that's like, I guess, kind of relieving, to be honest with you, that I'm able to really focus on the things that like I really should be focusing on.
Yeah.
So it's refreshing, to be honest.
That's cool. I think a lot of people that might be listening or watching or actually identify that, whether it's hockey or anything they're doing.
It translates.
It's easy to get caught up
big time
in what matters or what doesn't matter. Like prioritizing things that when you really look back at it, you're like, I mean, that was cool and all, but that's not really what matters.
What matters.
Like your kids could care less if you play hockey.
They don't care.
Right?
No.
I know my kids could care less what I do. They just want dad.
Exactly. Right?
So
that's been like a really good thing for me to focus on and to have and to kind of strive to be. So I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any next steps as far as what you're wanting to do, like crew wise? Are you just kind of taking one day at a time? I'm working for.
So actually, when we goes kind of back in the story. So retired, we had that piece of land. We built a home. My dad's a general contractor, and I kind of swore I would never do that. Found myself doing it. I really enjoy it. I'm a to do list driven guy, and every day I get to cross that off. But we ended up building our home out here, and I was GCing it. Got through it. Just moved in this past November, and then my wife's kind of like, "Hey, you gonna take some time off? Like, you know, what's next?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll take some time off." And like 3 or 4 days later, I'm just kind of staring at the walls. I'm like, "Man, I got to do something." So I started applying for some jobs, and I really like hunting in the outdoors. I started applying jobs in that and kind of highlighted that that's a passion, that I want to keep a passion and like not work in that space because, you know, that can cause issues.
Right.
Right. So I was like, hunting is just going to be like my, and to be honest with you, like it's more than that. It's not just like putting meat on the table and like raising your kids right in that direction, the whole thing. But it was like it's really a time where I can take my phone and throw it in a lake for 7 days.
Right.
And it wouldn't matter.
Right.
So I can be up in the middle of nowhere with no service. And, you know, my wife doesn't love that, but at the same time, it's really good for me.
Yeah.
And so like
it's a little bit of that outlet, right?
It is, man. It's just like time slows down. I forget what days it is, what time it is, what's going on. And I blink and 7 days goes by. Wow. It's just like, so I really love that. I didn't want to work in that. And so I had a conversation with a friend of mine who was, a home builder out in Camas, and he's like, "Hey man, I need some help. Come work for me." So I've been doing that, and it's right in my town there. So like, I don't travel much, which is great. Which is really great because I've traveled a lot.
Yeah.
And so, I'm home every night. I can go home for lunch, see my kids. And so it's good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You're doing the show with Brad.
Yeah.
Marchand.
Yeah.
And, tell us a little bit about what's that looking like.
It's fun. It's like that's a passion project that started out of two buddies sitting on a bus driving from the airport. I forget what it might be, Montreal. I don't even know where we're. But we were talking about like, hey, what are you, you know, because we like to hunt. Marshy loves hunting. Yeah. And we just like, we started a little business, you know, so we can, you know, kind of right off going hunts and doing this thing. And so we started selling some shirts and hats and kind of took off. Bruins got a hold of it. And now it's just something fun on the side that is really mostly a relationship builder with companies and people. Like that's been our biggest. I love it because we met some amazing people and some amazing companies that are just like moving the needle in the right direction for a lot of things. And we've been able to partner up with a bunch of veteran organizations that do God's work.
That's so cool.
And the fact that we're able to support that in any way, shape, or form has been a lot of fun.
That's so cool. Where can somebody watch or find out more about it?
It's called Marsh and Milko. We just finished season 3 on Nesson.
Nice.
And the only tough part about Nesson is you have to subscribe to it.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't even seen them yet. So like, because I don't have
episodes Nesson.
Episodes are great, I think. I don't know. You should go watch. I have no idea. No. So they're on Nesson, but they own the rights to that for a little bit, and then we'll put it on YouTube.
That's cool.
So we'll put them up on YouTube and go from there. That's pretty much it. That's fun. Yeah, it's a little banner back and forth, little locker room talk of us just kind of going at it, do some competitions, we do some fun stuff. It's kind of cool. You get to see in season three, we did like, we went to Guy's Tequila Cocina in Boston, and like Guy kind of helped us out. And we like, Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Fieri. He's awesome, but he kind of set us up there, and we did like a cooking competition between Brad and I.
That's hilarious.
We had a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's good fun, and he's a good dude.
That's awesome. So you're staying busy and doing some cool things, beyond the game. But looking back at the game and speaking to Marshy, they're in the middle of quite a run right now.
Yes,
they've had, I mean, the best regular season team ever at this point.
I honestly don't know if that'll, and you know, people say this all the time.
Yeah,
like that'll never be broken, and then it gets broken.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll be broken.
I don't know how. Like, how do you get more of a perfect season?
I honestly don't. I think they're like plus 130 their goals and like the goal differential, and the closest next one was like 50.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense because I mean it does because they
it's in a league of parity. It's ridiculous.
Exactly in a league of parity, and it like and the crazy thing was is like when I first got in the league, there were certain nights where it was like, hey boys, it's point night, like.
Right.
We're playing X.
Right.
This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
There's never that anymore. By the time I got out of there, it was like, you better have
every game is tough.
Every game is tough, and every team has a good team, and there's no, like, the parity is just not there.
Yeah.
And so to see how well they did this year, and it's a testament to the culture that's been driven by Z and Bergie. It's a testament to the veteran guys that are there. You got Craig, Marshy, all those guys that are pulling the rope in the right direction. And then Swains and Cam, who went out and made some really good acquisitions at the trade deadline, signed some really good free agents. And just like to be able to piece that puzzle together, get everybody in the room to do that and make it work. I look at it, I'm just like, man, I'm so happy for them. It's awesome.
It's ridiculous. Like they were already a great team. And then you just, I mean, look back at the trade deadline last year and you're like, they got Lindholm. Oh. And you're just like, the dude is like stud. Right in the middle of his prime too. Yeah, you're stud. Just like, ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, he's no Kevin Miller. But, I mean, let's go.
he's legit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just piece it together and like, they're just, it's so cool to watch. And like, I think that they're going to, do some damage here in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So you look back, I mean, you were a big part of this team right up until about, you know, a year ago. You look back and think, yeah, maybe what if, or did you have any like regrets, thoughts on any of that? Like
the only one is 2019.
Yeah.
And so kind of what happened was is I broke my kneecap with two games left in the season. Hmm. We had a really good team that year, obviously, because we lost in game 7 of the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
And we had a really good team, and I knew we had a really good team. And so I had surgery, and then 4 weeks goes by, I got an x-ray. And, you know, my trainer and I and our sports therapist and the whole thing were like, yeah, we can, you know, start to push this. And unfortunately, it ended up re-breaking. And I think I pushed it too hard maybe and consequently missed.
So you're playing the playoffs with a broken kneecap.
Well, I didn't play.
You didn't play.
So that's what happened.
So you broke
my knee.
Gotcha.
Two games before the end of the season. Was pushing it really
rehabbing,
hard.
Rehab trying to get back.
I think I would have, if I would have made it, I think I would have got back by like game one or game two of the, or maybe game three of the finals.
Man.
So I would have been back for that. And we end up losing game 7 in Boston to the St. Louis Blues and got pushed around a little bit. And the only thing I lose sleep about is like, what if that?
Right. Yeah.
God's got a plan.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
That's gotta be, I mean, when you re-break it during the rehab part, I mean, you're probably.
I was in North Carolina. It was round 2. I was in North Carolina traveling with the team because I was getting ready to skate after they just went on for pregame skate for the first time. Wow. So with the guys around the room, feel the vibe, like they just want, like, and I'm getting ready to go on the ice and I'm doing this stinking little exercise.
Man.
And honestly, it sounded like a balloon popped.
Wow.
Just snapped. I'm like, oh boy. So that was the end of that. So that really stinks. But again, everything happens for a reason. It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Like, you never know what could have happened.
No.
It could have.
Could have, would have, should have. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, hey, you're generally healthy now.
Yeah.
And you're
for sure.
With your kids.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Exactly. I can't complain.
No.
I hope they win it this year.
Yeah.
Because then at least I'll be able to go back and celebrate with them.
Yeah.
And like be, you know what I mean? I'm like selfishly, I'm like, guys, you need to come on. Like, I got to go back. I'll go. Like, yeah. Even if I'm like the bus boy and the thing in the parade, like, right. Just tuck me in the side. I just want to be there to watch. So
that's so good.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I hope they win.
Yeah. I'm pulling for them too, yeah. Especially since. The only other thing I can pull for is my Ducks to win the sweepstakes.
Eventually win the first round.
The other Connor sweepstakes.
Yeah,
the other
Connor better. Yeah, that'd be nice. It's possible.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, I think that's most everything. I think we covered a lot of good stuff here.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Only thing I think I wanted to know is you got to call it. Are they going to win? Like, is that?
Honestly, so – history will say no.
Yeah.
Because President's Trophy guys never win.
Right.
Best team in the league. It's hard because you're getting everybody's best. They know they're playing the Bruins this year. Like, oh, I better.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's hard to steal a game. It's like history's going to say no. I think they will. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do because there's a number of things. All the, like, they're so deep.
Right.
You got, I mean, and I love Grizz to death. Matt Grizz, look, Grizz is a healthy scratch for right now. He would be a top four defenseman
100%.
On any team in the NHL now, and he's a healthy scratch, which blows my mind. Grizz, I love you. Keep hanging there, buddy. Like, I if one guy gets injured on the D court, like, you got, that guy's going to step right in. And it's like, huh? Same thing on the forwards. Like, they're so deep.
Yeah.
Their goalies are both their goalies. So Omark, awesome.
Yeah.
Best tied for the best season in Bruins history.
Yeah.
Sway, 24 wins. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I any one of the, you're both their goalie, both your goalies are hot.
Yeah.
Your depth's unbelievable. You have guys that have won on the team before, know what it takes. Oh, man, I think they're gonna win.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out.
Who's going to do seven?
I don't know.
Who can?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I do have one other question then.
Yeah.
It's not a hockey question.
Yeah.
If you had to go back in time and tell your younger self something, what piece of advice, what would it be?
That's super easy for me. It just would be to get in the book earlier.
Yeah.
I wasn't growing up Christian. We didn't go to church we were the Easter and Christmas family. And we were
CEO.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep. And we were, I think it would have made my life through, from as a younger age, been able to make better decisions that would have maybe, I don't know. I think I said everything happens for a reason, right? But I really wish I would have. And that's what I hope to do with my kids.
Yeah.
Just at least give them the option.
So how did you get into, like, what drove you to?
Man, I just had like as a young kid, like I asked my mom for a cross necklace at 15. Why?
Wow.
Why?
Yeah.
You know why? So, cause I had conversations. I had connection with Christ and I didn't really know what it meant or what it was. And I mean, still figuring out, you know,
but
I think that would probably be the one thing I wish I would have explored at a younger age or been exposed to at a younger age.
Yeah. I said CEOs, Christmas, Easter only. We kind of we joke about it, but
it's a real thing.
It's a real thing, but it's all like, I think what you said, like taking that step, like you just taking a step of faith, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's important. Like, even if you are a CEO type Christian, at least, like, hey, it's first step.
Yeah.
Just keep walking.
The other thing is like, it's like, I guess the other, like, it's a hard decision to make.
Yeah.
But like, you have those feelings in the back of your head or in your heart for a reason.
Yeah.
And for so long, it was just like, yeah, it's there, but hockey.
Right.
You know, I'm on this path. This is what I'm doing. If I would be able to walk with that, I think it would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
I think it would have made a whole lot, like some of the decisions I made, things I did, people I was around, the whole thing would have made my life and my faith journey a lot easier.
Yeah.
So that's all.
It's good.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing amazing now. You're a good dad, good member of the community.
Trying to be. Yeah. Doing my best.
You're doing awesome. And it's been great getting to know you. Right, thanks for sitting down with us, hanging out with us for a little bit.
I think I told you.
Yeah.
Super grateful to be here. So
you took a day out of your work day, just come and hang out with us. It's so cool.
It's Friday.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's Friday. Let's
do it. Everybody stops at 9, right? 9 a.m.
Is that what happens?
Just goes in, they check in, and then you're out.
Yeah. I think that's Branson. That's right. Right? Branson's good. He's our producer. He's ready to, he's just like clocking out.
He's halfway asleep.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. This is awesome. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lemonade Stand podcast, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you use to be alerted when we release new episodes. We'd also love to hear your feedback in the reviews, and if you or someone you know has an awesome Lemonade Stand story, please reach out to us on social media and let us know. Thanks so much, and have a great day.